number 4. Now, I preached out of that last Sunday morning, verse number 8. We're not going to preach out of that today, but I told you last Sunday that I would eventually get to a New Year's message, so I guess today would be the New Year's message. I waited till the last Sunday in January to preach a New Year's message. But I'm going to try to just read 3 verses to start with, and then we'll come back and we'll fill in the verses that we're dealing with. So we're going to look in Philippians chapter number 4, and we're going to read probably some of the most well-known verses, maybe even in the Bible, but especially in the book of Philippians. So we're going to start Philippians chapter 4. We're going to read, first of all, verse number 6. The Bible says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." And then look down in verse number 13. This is a very popular verse. "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." And then look down at verse number 19. Here's another popular verse. "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." And this is going to go right along with our Sunday school lesson as well. So let's bow our heads and we'll go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll get into the message. Lord, we are thankful today for your blessings. I'm thankful that you give us the opportunity to be here today, and I pray and I ask that the Spirit of God would speak to our hearts, that, Lord, you would open up your word unto us, that we might be edified, that we might grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, if there'd be one here today that's lost and never been saved, I pray that you'd show them the greatest need of their life is a real relationship with the Lord Jesus. And then we ask that you would just have your way. Lord, we have a lot of things in this life that we're concerned about, sometimes troubled about. But Lord, help us to be rooted and grounded in your word. And Lord, I pray for your help today. I pray that nothing would hinder, and I pray that your will would be accomplished. We need your wisdom. We need guidance in this life. We come praying and asking for today, and we'll thank you for all that you do. We ask these things in Jesus' name, and amen. Let's just start today. We're going to go back. Let's read verse number 6 and verse number 7. Just to start with, the Bible said, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." And here we are. It's year 2017. We have a new year. We have a new president. All kinds of new policies are being instituted and signed into law and all those things. So there's a lot of new things that we could talk about today that are going on, but we could also say this, it's the same drama. You know, there's always a new things, but it's pretty much the same drama that goes on. Same problems, really. We have just the same problems. We have the same enemies. We have the same concerns. It's just sometimes the shoe's on the other foot. And I'm not trying to be political this morning, but I have lived long enough. You know, I've got a couple of gray hairs, so I've lived long enough to observe that pretty much as far as the news is concerned, or if you're into politics and stuff like that, every 4 or every 8 years, the earth is either reborn or it's getting ready to end. You know, this is it for some people. New year, new president. You know, for some, man, it's just the best thing in the world. But for others, the world is getting ready to come to an end. And if you live long enough, you will find out that that happens every 4 years. You know, probably the first president I ever remember coming into office or paying any attention to was when Jimmy Carter was elected.
And the reason I remember that is because honeycomb cereal, how many of you remember? I guess they still make that, I don't know, but they had these little bicycle license plates. And you could get a small bicycle license plate from honeycombs boxes. And my mom had ordered all 50 of them. And so when Jimmy Carter, that year he was elected, my brother and I, we sat in the floor and we watched the returns, and we'd put the license plate from each state, one in this pile and one in that pile. Now that's why I remember that, but I don't remember much of anything else. But I do remember this, every 4 years, every 8 years, for some, it's the end of the world. For others, this is the greatest thing ever was. And so that's what I mean. And life goes on, and pretty much it's just the same problems, it's the same concerns, it's the same things, but it's just different people in charge. Now, there are, and I'm not downplaying the importance of elections and all of those things. Who is in power definitely makes a difference. I was just reading this past week in the Old Testament, 2 Chronicles, there was a king whose name was Manasseh. He was very ungodly, and I mean they worshiped false gods, and they sacrificed their children on altars of fire and just all kinds of just wicked things. And so he was a wicked king, and the nation suffered accordingly. Then his grandson, his name was Josiah, he became the king, and he was a good king and godly, and they had a revival, and so it does matter. I'm not saying that those things do not matter or that they are not important, but here's what the Bible says. Turn over just a few pages to the book of 1 Timothy. Here's what the Bible says, and the older I get, again, the more I see the importance of this. 1 Timothy chapter number 2, and this is along the same lines of what we've just been reading about in prayer. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1, Paul told Timothy, I exhort therefore that first of all, what do we do? First of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Here's what we're supposed to do as God's people. Whoever is in charge, we're supposed to pray for them. And we're supposed to pray for them that we might lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come under the knowledge of the truth. So what are we to do? We're to pray. And we're to pray that our leaders would be saved and that they would come unto the knowledge of the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we're supposed to do. That we might lead a quiet and peaceable life. That we might be able to serve the Lord and follow the Lord and be involved in the Lord's work while life goes on and some leaders come and some leaders go. But no matter who is in charge and no matter what country in the world that you might live in, if you live in America, if you live in Canada, if you live in Russia or China, no matter who's in charge, no matter where in the world, there's some things that do not change. And that's what I want to focus on this morning. And what does not change? The Lord does not change. Malachi 3:6, the Bible said, I am the Lord, I change not. He's the King that does not change. And His Word does not change. And I'm glad for that. That's where our hope is. That's where our foundation is today, is in the Lord and His Word. Many people are concerned about rights and freedoms and things like this, but we are neither any more free or less free than we were 8 months ago or 8 years ago or 80 years ago. The reason I say that is this, because freedom does not come from government. Freedom comes from God. That's where our freedoms come from. That's where we talk about our God-given rights. That's where they come from. And I want to preach this morning on this subject, precious freedoms from God's Word. Precious freedoms from God's Word. And using these verses that we've already read today, I'm going to give you three precious freedoms that we find in God's Word that we can enjoy no matter who we are, where we are. Number one, we're going to look at verses 6 and 7. I'm thankful for freedom from worry. You ever worry about anything? I know you do, don't lie. I don't, but you probably do. But your worrying makes me worry. That's what I tell somebody sometimes. Your worrying makes me worry. But the Bible says this in verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, let me point out what this is talking about. When it says, be careful, that word careful there, it means this. It means to be anxious about. Careful means this, full of care. Be full of care for nothing. Be anxious about nothing. Be worried about nothing. Be concerned to the point of anxiety about. Look what the Bible says. Be careful for nothing. Now, let me tell you what nothing means. Nothing means nothing. There's no biblical justification whatsoever for us to worry about anything at all. Now, you would think that God would come along and say, well, it's okay if you worry about your family, because surely all of us at some point in time worries about our family. But nowhere in the Bible does God ever say, don't worry about anything, but it's okay, go ahead and worry about your family. You don't find that in the Bible. Nowhere in the Bible does God give us the right or the green light or the go ahead. Well, go ahead and worry about your health. I mean, we're all concerned about our health. I mean, I think we are. I don't want to be sick. I want to be well. But God doesn't tell us it's okay to worry even about our health or about our family or about our nation, or about our environment, or our banking account, or you just go ahead and think about any 100 things you want to think about. Nowhere in the Bible does God say it's okay to worry about that, but the Word of God says be careful for nothing. It means don't be anxious, don't be worried about, don't be wringing your hands about anything. Anything at all, God says, nothing. Worry about anything. Let me give you something to think about this morning. Of all the things you've ever worried about and all the times that you've ever worried in your life, it was all wasted. All the worrying that you've ever done was just simply this: wasted time, wasted effort, wasted Tums pills and everything else. It's just a waste of time, a complete and utter waste of time and effort and energy and health sometimes. You say, preacher, surely you can't say that today. I will say that today. Here is why it's a waste of time to worry, because number one, you can't do anything about it. Here's what the Bible said in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 27 and verse 25. He said, along the same lines, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. God says, don't worry about these things. That's what that's saying. Verse number 27 says, which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto your stature? By taking thought, by worrying, can you add, can you change anything? And the answer to that is no, you can't. You can worry until you're sick. You can worry until it puts you in the hospital, but it won't change a thing. And I read a little saying a long time ago, and it said this: worry is like a rocking chair. It keeps you busy, but doesn't get you anywhere. And that's all we're doing when we're worrying. We can't do anything about it. Here's something else why worrying is a waste of time. It's a waste of time because a lot of the things we worry about, they never even happen anyway. We worry about the future and worry about, and we say this a lot of times, well, what if? And a lot of times that what if, it doesn't even happen. And so we've worried and we've wasted time. Now, it is a fact that worry is going to happen. And what I mean by that, it is a reality that it comes into our lives. But God in His Word has given us the answer to how to deal with worry. What do we do about it when it does come? Now, Matthew chapter 11, verse 29, Jesus said this. He said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And that's what worry is. Worry is like carrying the weight of the world on your shoulders. But you can't do anything about it. What did the Lord Jesus say about that? He said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let the Lord carry the load." You're not able to carry it anyway. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 7 says this: "Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you." Give it to the Lord. Give it to the Lord. A lot of times we give it to the Lord, but we take it right back up. And we carry that load. But we are told in the Bible that we're not to worry. We're to be careful for nothing. Now, what do we do about it? Number one, verses 6 and 7, we pray right about it. We pray about it. And in our prayers, we are giving those worries, those anxious things over to the Lord. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. Prayer and supplication. We read about that in 1 Timothy chapter 2. By prayers and supplication. A prayer is like a prayer list. A supplication is that I'm asking, I'm requesting something unto the Lord with thanksgiving. You know, thanksgiving will boost your prayer life like nothing else will. If you're having a hard time and going through something, just think about all the things you can be thankful for, all the ways the Lord has blessed you. And begin to thank Him and praise Him. With those things, let your request be made known unto God. And look what the Bible says: "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding," which means I don't understand it all the time. "But the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." How do we deal with worry? How do we deal with anxiety? We pray. We give it over to the Lord. "And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." There have been times I've been worried, and through prayer, I was able to, in faith, really give that thing over to the Lord. And I'm telling you, the peace of God was so good. Nothing in my outward circumstances changed except I just had the peace of God about it. Because I had given that thing over to the Lord and not taken it back on my... And a lot of times I've told Kim, I said, "Well, I hate it. It's a bad deal. But there ain't nothing I can do about it. Just going to have to turn it over to the Lord. He's the only one. Why should I carry? Why should I try to do something that I cannot do? Give it to the Lord." Give it to the Lord is what we find in the Bible. We are to pray right. We are to think right in verse number 8. And this is what I preached on last Sunday, so I'm not going to go over that again. But thinking right will really help you not to worry. He said, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. I'm not going to re-preach that. But last night I sat down, I had a few minutes, and I don't read the newspaper, but online, I was going through the headlines. And I had been reading the headlines, and I read a couple of articles, and about 10 minutes later, I told Kim, I said, well, if I'm going to listen to what I preached last Sunday, I said, that's enough. And I thought, if there be a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, and I couldn't find anything that warranted any more time, so I went on to something else. Got to think right. If you sit around and think about dark clouds, the what if, I'm telling you, it'll make you worry. And God said not to do that. Not to do that. There's seven things there, eight things there. Think on these things. Pray right, think right, but look down in verse number 9, we've got to do right. Paul said, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. Underline that little word there. If we hear it, if we learn it, if we receive it, if we see it, but we don't do it, then you might as well be watching TV. Paul said, the things which you've learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. There's that peace again. Let me tell you something this morning. My time unoccupied. Now I've heard people say, an idle mind is the devil's workshop. But that is not in the Bible, meaning that phrase. But that teaching is in there. And a lot of times that idle mind is where the worry and the anxiety is coming from in my life. And if I had something fit to do, it'd help me a whole lot. If I could find some way to serve somebody else, if I could find something good to read in the Word of God, if I could spend some time in prayer, if I could do these things, it would help me to have peace in my life. That's what the Bible says. The God of peace shall be with you. So we say, first of all, this morning, that one of the precious freedoms that we find in the Word of God is freedom from worry. Let me tell you something this morning. Worrying is a choice. If you are spending time worrying, you are choosing to do that. But it'll tie you up in bondage to where you can't focus or do anything else but worry. That's what worry does. It's like putting shackles on. But there's freedom from worry. Number two this morning, look at verse number 13. There is freedom from weakness. Now look what the Bible says. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And that is a favorite verse in the sports world. I'd say you see that around sports more than you see that in church sometimes. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I have seen that on jewelry. I've seen that. I have a t-shirt, actually, that has Philippians 4:13 on the sleeve. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. You see it on social media. You see it on Facebook. You see it on Instagram and Twitter and stuff like that. Here's a new one for the Laodicean church age. It's a popular tattoo. I'm going to get a Bible verse tattoo. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. But it's a very well-known verse, but it does not mean what most people think it means. We're going to look at the context of this morning. It does not mean what a lot of people think it means. If I am an athlete and I put Philippians 4:13 on my locker, and I read it every day. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. That does not mean that I am going to make it to the Major League Baseball. That does not mean I'll make it to the NFL or the NBA. If just trying and doing, if through effort you could do anything, then I would be able to dunk a basketball, but I cannot dunk a basketball. When I was in the 7th and 8th and 9th grade, every time we was in the gym, we'd spend all kinds of time trying to jump and touch that rim. And we jumped and we jumped and we jumped. And I remember, you know, when we first could jump and touch the net. And then when you could jump and touch the bottom of the backboard. And then once upon a time in my life, I have touched the bottom of the rim with the very tip of one of my fingers. That's a long time ago. But that's a long ways from holding a ball. If I could do all things through Christ which strengthens me, shouldn't I have been able to dunk a basketball? But I never could. And none of the rest of us could either. One boy, I think, could dunk a ping pong ball. He's over 6 feet tall, and that wasn't the rest of us. But that's how a lot of people look at this verse. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. If that's true, I would have been a Major League Baseball player. That's what I really like to do. That is not what this means. If we look at the verses that surround this, starting in verse number 10, we can find out what this is really talking about. Verse 10, the Bible said, Paul said, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again." He was writing to a church that had helped him in his ministry. They had cared for him. And they had done it again. "Wherein you were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want. For I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." Now, in the context of those scripture, what is he saying? The "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me" is in the context of conditions, not achievements. What I mean by that, he's talking about the condition that he is living in, not things that he's been able to do. Let me show you what I mean by that in the context. Look what he said in verse 11. "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content." He's talking about whatever state he is, whatever conditions that his life are in, that his life is in right at that moment. "I have learned that in whatsoever state I am, whatever my circumstances are, whatever the conditions of my life are, I have learned to be content." You know what that word content really means? What it literally means? The word content means this. It means to be held. To be held back. I really wanted to dunk a basketball. But I had to be content with just touching the backboard. I was held back. My physical limitations held me back. I had to learn to be content with that. That was my circumstances. That was all I could do. The word content means to be held. It means to be contained within limits. Hence, to be quiet, not disturbed, having a mind at peace, to be easy, to be satisfied so as not to repine and object and oppose the condition that you're in. And Paul said, "I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content." Look what he gives examples in verse number 12. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. What does he mean by that? That word abased, it means this. It means to be reduced to a low state, to be humbled, to be degraded. But he said, I also know how to abound. The word abound means to be like a fountain, to have or possess in great quantity. And what Paul is talking about there, I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. He knew what it was to live in poverty and have nothing. And he knew what it was to abound, to have more than enough. And Paul said, I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know how to be poor. I know how to be rich. And I'm going to be content no matter what, whichever one it is. He said, in everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry. He knew what it was in his life to have so much that at the end of a meal, he sat back and said, man, that was good. I'm stuffed. I can't have another bite. And some little old lady in the church would come along with a piece of blueberry pie, and she'd say, Paul, you got to have a piece of this. It's the best thing you ever put your lips on. He knew what kind of life that was to live. But on the other hand, he knew what it was for the gospel's sake to be traveling, to be put in prison, to not even have a piece of moldy bread to gnaw on. And he said, whatever my conditions are, I've learned to be content. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I can do rich, I can do poor. I can do health, I've lost my health. I can do freedom, I can do prison. That's what that means. Whatever my circumstances are in life, he's saying I've went through enough, I've experienced enough, I've been on both sides of the fence, and I've learned that no matter what it is, I can do that. Not in my own power, but through Christ which strengthens me. Could you be content if you lost everything? Paul was. I believe you can. I believe we have people in this church could stand up and testify and say, we've lost it all, but happiness is not in all that stuff. I have learned. That's what that means. That is what that is freedom from. Freedom from weakness, that no matter what happens to us as God's children, we'll never be in a place where we are without the most important thing, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Sickness, health, the spotlight or the shadow, ability or disability, whatever the case might be, for the good or the bad, Paul said, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. That's what that means. That means you can be happy and contented if you make the team, if you don't make the team. If you get the job, if you don't get the job. Whatever. If you sort of like Americans say, have it all, or you get down in your life where you don't have much at all, you'll be content either way. That's real power. That's real freedom. No matter what the world throws at me, I can do that. I can do that. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. He will give me the strength to go through whatever it is that comes at me in this life. Well, I'm telling you, that is a blessing. That's better than being able to dunk a basketball, because let me tell you something today. If I could, what good would it do? But if I lose my health and I've still got the Lord, then I've got the Lord. If I lose everything I got, if I go home and everything's burnt down to the ground, well, I still got the Lord. I've got the Lord. I believe I can do that. I'd sure hate to. If the new president doesn't please me, or the old one didn't please me, you know what? I still got the Lord. It's all right. I got the Lord. I can do all things through Christ. You see what I'm saying this morning? There's freedom from worry. There's freedom from weakness. Last of all this morning, there is freedom from want. Now look what the Bible says in verse 19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And when I say want, I mean to be in want or to be in need. God's word says he'll supply all your need. But here's another verse that is often misquoted and misunderstood. This is not a blanket promise for if you want something. And it's not a blanket promise for those who are in need. Think about this. Paul has just been talking about, in verse number 12, he's been talking about being abased, being humbled, being degraded. He talks about in verse number 12 about instructed both to be full and to be hungry. He knows what it's like to be hungry. He's talking about in verse number 12 about and to suffer need. Well, why didn't Paul just latch on to verse number 19? He's been abased. He's been hungry. He's suffered need in his life. Verse number 19 is not just a blanket promise to all who are in need. But what verse number 19 actually is, it is a specific promise to a church body that had met the needs of the Apostle Paul. They met his needs. They helped him in his ministry. Look, beginning at verse 14, what he said. He said, notwithstanding, ye, now he's writing to the church at Philippi, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. He's saying, church, you were a blessing to me. You communicated, you helped me in my needs that I had, my suffering, hunger, and my being abased. The church helped him during that time. Verse 15, now ye Philippians, that was the church at Philippi, know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. Do you know when the Apostle Paul left Macedonia as a missionary to get the gospel out, he only had one supporting church, and it was a church at Philippi. That's what that verse is saying. You are the only one that communicated with me as far as giving and receiving is concerned. Verse number 16, for even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity. They sent stuff to him. They sent gifts to him. They supported him. He is a gospel preacher establishing churches in Thessalonica. Verse 17, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you. Epaphroditus had just brought the Apostle Paul another love offering from the church at Philippi. He said, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. And then he says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Church at Philippi, you helped me get the gospel out. You were my only supporting church at the beginning. You have sent to me and sent to me over and over again, and you have met my needs, and God is going to supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Not everybody can just latch on to that and say, well, I'm behind in my car payment this month and I don't know where it's come from, but I'm claiming that. Now, if you were in the church at Philippi helping get the gospel out, you can claim verse 19. But not otherwise. That is a specific promise in a specific condition to a specific people. And I want to say this morning that we at Mount Lebanon Baptist Church, I'm preaching to the church now. I know we have a lot of visitors. I rarely ever mention anything to do with money. But I'm going to try to help Mount Lebanon this morning. We want to be like the church at Philippi. We want to be a supplying church. We want to be a church that when people say, what does your church do? We help get the gospel out. This church is being upheld as an example by the Apostle Paul. What kind of church do you want to be? We want to be a church that gets the gospel out. The church at Philippi was a supply church, and God had promised to supply all their needs. What do we do at Mount Lebanon? Well, if you look back on the board, we help support every month, and I'm just telling you this is what we do. We help support 50 or 60 missionaries at a pretty good chunk apiece. That's a lot. We help support a college ministry. We have missionaries going into the with the Rock of Ages. We have Brother Jeff and Sister Michelle getting ready to go to the Philippines and get the gospel out. Get the gospel out. That's what we do. And if you come to a business meeting and you want to know how much that adds up to every month, it'll surprise you. It'll surprise you what goes out, the radio ministry, all these things that go on. How do we do that, preacher? Well, there's no magic wand. It's by reaching in back here and pulling out here and putting into there. That's how that gets done. Now, at Mount Lebanon, and we were talking about tithing in Sunday school. Tithing is just kindergarten stuff. Tithing is how you teach children to give to the Lord. But once you ever learn how much the Lord blesses when we give to His work, tithing is nothing. It's elementary stuff. But of all the offerings that we take up on Sunday morning, it goes in the plate, 35% of that goes to missions. That's what we do. That's what we're able to do. The reason we can do that is because God's blessed down through the years. You look around this morning, everything on this property is all paid for. Praise the Lord. That's a blessing. So if we just kept it and kept it and kept it, we'd have a great big bank account. But it's not God's will that any church just keep and accumulate and hoard up. We're to get the gospel out. And then on Wednesday nights, every Wednesday night is a missions offering. That is on top of and above what comes out of the general offering. And all that put together helps do all this work. Wednesday night is above and beyond regular tithing. It's a missions offering. And that's how we do. Now, is God true to His word? But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I think we can look amongst ourselves this morning and say, God's word is true. In the past 8 or 9 years out of this church, we have known people that have lost their jobs because the economy went terrible. We know people that lost jobs, lost homes, lost businesses, lost retirement funds. But I think everybody can look back and say, you know, when gas was almost $4 a gallon, somehow I still had it. Still able to go. Do you remember that? Tell you what, that's tough. Pull up in my little Honda pickup and put $60 down the tube. And some of you has big vehicles. It'd be $100 to fill your vehicle up. But I'll tell you what, I look out my window and every day and during all those times, and I'd always say this, well, it might cost more, but people's not stopped going. Going, going, going. You's able to go to church. You's able to go to Walmart. You's able to do all them things. God still supplied and met your need. Even during hard times. When people lost their jobs, somehow, some way, God still supplied. People lost their homes. God, He still was faithful and worked things out. People lost a lot of things, but God still supplied our needs. God is able to supply all your need. It doesn't matter what the economy is. If it's a need and you're faithful to God's work, do you know during all that time, we're still able to support all of our missionaries, all of our work. Didn't have to write any missionaries and say, sorry, we can't support you anymore. And God's been faithful. Look back in your life how God has blessed over the past just 8 years. Then look back 20 years. Then if you're able, look back 30 years. God is faithful. God made a promise to a church that supported the Apostle Paul in getting the gospel out. And God met their needs. And God supplied. I'm preaching this morning on the subject of precious freedoms. Let me tell you, freedom does this. Freedom gives you the ability to do. The opposite of freedom from worry, freedom from weakness, freedom from want, the opposite of that is bondage. And when we're in bondage to these things, we cannot do the Lord's work. God fully intends it's His will that we be free from these things. Why, preacher? That we might do the Lord's work. We've got a great work to do. You say, you support missionaries and things. Let me tell you, I get two or three calls every week. People still wanting to go to the field, needing to get to the field. There's still a lot of work to do. We might say, well, the college ministry seems to be going well. But look at the numbers. Well, there's still a lot of work to do. We're able to do just a little bit. But there's a whole lot needs to be done. There's a whole lot still to be done as long as the Lord has done here. So I'm thankful that we have some freedoms from some things in this life. And those verses, what do they really mean? They mean a lot. They mean a lot to us today. I'd like for us to have our heads bowed and our eyes closed. And the main thing that Paul desired in all of this.